And good morning.
Good morning.
So many of you have been faithful filling out not only the name tags, but also the question of the day, which you're probably figuring out is going along with the theme of the talk on Sunday morning. And it seemed like this one was a little harder for us to try to think, at least at the spur of the moment, of someone who has borne our burdens or seeing someone bear someone else's burdens. So we're going to spend some time looking at Galatians 6 and what God's Word and people who study God's Word, what they have to say in regards to the importance of loving one another by bearing one another's burdens. Our scripture passage is in Galatians chapter 6. It'll be the first 10 verses, so you can follow along on your phone or a tablet or in the book, or you can simply listen as I read these verses. And so I invite you to join with me by standing in spirit or in body as we hear these words from the book that we love. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the Word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. God's very word. Thanks be to God, and you may be seated. In 1963 in Alabama, there were three white church leaders who wrote an open letter to Martin Luther King Jr. They said instead of taking the civil rights fight to the streets, he should find another path. He is causing too much of a ruckus. It is poor timing. He should wait. Dr. Martin Luther King responded by writing what is now the famous letter, the letter from the Birmingham jail. In it, he says this: "Perhaps it is easy for those who have never felt the stinging darts of segregation to say, wait. But when you are plagued by inner fears and outer resentments, when you are fighting a generating sense of nobodiness, then you will understand why we find it difficult to wait." It has taken white churches not only years but decades to come to a place of repentance for a lack of action, to have failed to carry this burden together with our black sisters and brothers, and to fail to see what was actually happening. As we consider what it means to love one another, we're looking at New Testament passages that talk about one another. It gives us pictures of how to relate to each other as Christ relates to us and cares for us. And each set of verses that we are looking at is a color commentary, one slice of the pie of what it means to love one another. Today, we are to carry one another's burdens, to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. First of all, looking at the position to put ourselves in to bear the burdens of others. We have to get close enough to understand burdens in order to pay the price to bear others' burdens. And this really is a main obstacle that keeps us from bearing one another's burdens. The Galatians letter was written to a collection of churches. And the early church, especially in the first centuries, lived what's called very thick lives. They were deeply rooted in community and deeply rooted in one another. This idea of an individual life living on their own was a foreign idea to them. They needed the clan. They needed the community. They needed one another. And so we get to verse 1. How does someone catch someone else in a sin? In community, where there is nowhere to hide, in a household where all that you do is noticeable by others. This sin that's talked about in Galatians 6 refers not so much to one act of failing, but to a repeated pattern of sin. It could refer to a blind spot that someone has as they're going through their life, their blind spot in how they are relating to others, how they are relating to the community, how they are relating to possessions, something that they themselves don't see. And you have to know each other closely in order to make this kind of observation, a pattern, maybe a blind spot, that someone doesn't see in themselves. Getting close. Well, today, we've been raised and have learned not to be dependent on others, but to be self-sufficient. Even though we live physically much closer than ever before, we want to live separate lives. You be you, I'll be me, and we'll each stay in our own respective lanes. And what this has done, it has pulled us farther and farther apart, further away from each other's hearts. It's created a problem, because it's easier for us to hide and to not be known. This call for self-sufficiency within our culture, and even sometimes within the church community, has pulled us farther away and has not made us able to live thick lives together. Staying in our own lanes is a subtle game in our culture of believing that everyone is okay. We don't really ask how each other is doing. We don't tell how we are doing because we don't really want to engage. We don't want to dig past the veneer to get to the real person, because for some of us that can be scary and it's time consuming. To understand someone is to take that word understand and just turn it around. To stand under them. If someone's going to help carry a load, carry a burden, can you do that from afar off? That word itself, understand, talks about literally going underneath and carrying that thing to understand others and where they're at. It changes the kind of conversations we have with others. It changes our pace of hurriedness or lack thereof as we meet someone and share how are we doing. To be able to bear someone's burden implies, first of all, we have to get close. And secondly, It also comes from a standpoint, as Paul writes in Galatians 6, of understanding that we all have burdens. No matter what our circumstance, no matter what our background, having burdens is a natural fabric of this world. It's part of our common humanity. Bryan Stevenson, a social justice advocate, who wrote the book and they made the movie, Just Mercy, said that getting proximate to people's suffering is what changed his life. He writes, "Sometimes we are fractured by the choices we make. Sometimes we are shattered by the things that we would never have chosen. But our brokenness is also the source of our common humanity, the basis for our shared search for comfort, for meaning, and healing. Our shared vulnerability and imperfection nurtures and sustains our capacity for compassion." The closer he got to people, the more he learned what it meant to be human, to be weak and vulnerable. What is a burden? If we are to understand people's burdens, if we are to stand under them, what is a burden? A burden is simply a heavy load that is hard to lift. And our life is full of them, because we don't live in a frictionless life. We have emotional burdens, we have family burdens, we have physical burdens, these things that weigh us down. The Bible says it's not random, it's not bad luck. It is part of the brokenness in this world due to sin. Dr. Cornelius Plantinga of Calvin Seminary writes in his book, The Brevity of Sin. It is a beautiful book, and he is a master of words. He calls this the vandalism of shalom, sin. Just a couple of sentences. God hates sin, not just because it violates his law, but more substantively because it violates his shalom. It breaks the peace because sin interferes with the way things are supposed to be. The way things are supposed to be. Sin has brought brokenness into this world. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says that in this earthly pilgrimage, we moan and are burdened, and it's part of our shared human fallenness. We feel this sin in the world and its fallenness because in our lives, we carry different burdens. Some who are going through addictions know the weight that addictions weigh on them. Maybe it's things that we have done in our past or things that have happened to us in our past. There is a long list of groans and burdens that we carry. And it's part of our common humanness. We don't see these things well because somehow the lie has been sold. The idea that life is supposed to be great. And if life is going to be great, then it means we don't carry burdens. And if we carry burdens, we certainly aren't going to share that with anyone. It makes us believe that having difficulty in our life is unnatural. And therefore, we want to hide from sharing anything that's really going on in our life. We push people away and we close our eyes and we become blind. This is not the Christian worldview. Because the Bible does not gloss over the difficulties of life. It doesn't. And our passage even gives warning for us to be careful that we don't fall into sin. Because no one is outside of the reach of sin or susceptible to sin's temptation. When we look at life through God's lenses, and it comes through reading and knowing His Word, when we draw close to others and allow others to draw close to us, We see that our common brokenness puts us on a level playing field. Sometimes the burdens we bear are not our faults. And somehow we feel we have to carry an extra burden, thinking that it is our fault when it is not. It's part of this broken world that Christ has come to redeem, to save, and to restore. So if you think that your life has to be perfectly fine, and the lives of your friends have to be perfectly fine, then we have wandered. We have wandered what God has said about the effect of sin and brokenness in this world. It's going to give us burdens, so that we might draw close to Him and to others. Sometimes burdens are not just a burden that a person carries. Sometimes a burden is what is called a just cause. God has sent prophets because matters of injustice and oppression matter to God. Dr. Martin Luther King is one of those high examples of someone who got underneath a just cause called civil rights. And it wasn't just him, but nameless thousands of others who were and are part of carrying the burden of a just cause. Sometimes a just cause moves us to join with others because this sin impacts society so severely. And we want to stand with people who maybe have been hurt by the discriminatory system of our world. Sometimes being a part of a just cause is something that we can do one-on-one. Sometimes it's standing shoulder to shoulder with others, with many, to be that voice of God who says injustice and oppression are wrong and part of the brokenness that sin has brought into this world. We all have burdens. We are to come close to others because we all have burdens. We are all on a level playing field. No one is above another. And bearing one another's burdens comes down to paying the price of spending time and bearing that burden. The way that we relieve someone is to help them feel the weight of their load and slide under it with them. We have had a pickup truck for over 25 years. We have helped scores of people move. In our previous church, when we worked with young adults, our pickup truck was a hot commodity. It was used a lot. And it takes muscle and time and energy to come under people's furniture and to help them move. But you're all with me. We love to do it. We love to help out in this way. It's a great way to help carry people's burdens. Picture with me that for some reason you've moved out of state for a while. Job, school, whatever. And now you've got a place where you're going to come back to Grand Rapids, Michigan. And lo and behold, you found this great apartment downtown on Monroe Center. You know, one of those second or third story places, apartments, you know, below the businesses. And this just revs you up. And you've decided to move yourself. So you've packed your U-Haul from whatever that state is, and you're going to go to this place on Monroe Center, and you got to unload. Well, you're nervous. How are you going to park this U-Haul at Monroe Center down that road? Contacted a good buddy. She says, I'll be there waiting for you. I'll help you unload. So at least that gives you a little sense of sharing burden, right? So you're driving your U-Haul, you get off 131, you exit on Pearl, you're driving down Pearl, Amway's on your left, the parking garage is on your right, you come to Rosa Park Circle, and you take that veer to the left to go down Monroe Center, and you're looking, and you see your buddy, and she's there. She's not only there. She is camped out in front of a couple of parking spots that she has made sure that you have a place to put your U-Haul. Here is someone who is paying the price to help you unload a burden, not just the physical burden of moving, right? But to ease your mind of helping you make the change. I propose that that is a lot easier than checking in with people regularly, striving to get to know people, to get close enough, to pray regularly, to know what it is to pray about, to send notes of encouragement. This is harder to do on a regular basis of bearing others' burdens than moving furniture. This is the long road of love. Close enough to let people know they are cared for, encouraged, and walked with. The greatest resource is not money, but it is time, energy, to put our mask down, to feel known, and to let others be known as well. This whole idea of drawing close to people, of standing underneath with them of their burden, it's hard to do when we view ourselves as consumers before God. Because if we want to view ourselves in our relationship with God as a consumer relationship, we really want from God what is comfortable. Our loyalty to God is often based then on how well our needs are being met. And somehow we conclude that if my life isn't comfortable, then we look for ways to make it comfortable rather than drawing closer to God. We crave a life that is pleasurable and predictable and problem-free, and we tend to judge God's goodness based on how well my life is working out, rather than focusing on His zeal to bring His mercy and His grace and His love and His justice to others, often by paying the price of sacrifice. We get too easily satisfied with just enough of God to keep us from getting uncomfortable. That would move us to getting close so we can stand under a burden. He calls us to find satisfaction in His pleasure and following His will to love one another. That's the position that He calls us to bear one another's burdens. The passage says, if you catch a Christian in a sin, in a pattern of sin, maybe a blind spot that they have that they don't see, someone who is going to bring restoration and reconciliation is not someone who leads with judgment and harshness, but restores them and brings them back to wholeness with gentleness. That's what it says. This means someone who doesn't feel superior, someone who recognizes the common struggle of humanity and of brokenness. Someone who is strong to carry their load, or strong enough to carry someone else's load, yet weak enough to know that they have a load as well. How do you strike this balance? How do you do this? How can you live your life in what Paul says in Galatians 6, to know your own load, to do what you can to bear your load while helping others bear their load? What kind of person can do this? Well, it says in our passage, verse 1, it is the person who lives by the Spirit. the person who lives by the Spirit. This is not talking about someone who is super spiritual, but it's talking to all of us. Because of Jesus, we are now filled with the Holy Spirit, and that means we have His supernatural Spirit living within us. We have all of Him. All of us have all of Him, which means that we can bear one another's burdens. It's a supernatural thing to do. We can do it because His Spirit is within us. And to have His Spirit within us means that we have this spiritual love for Jesus first and foremost. The way in which we live by the Spirit is to have Jesus bear our burden because of His love for us. Jesus got close. Even when we want to push Him away, He doesn't keep His distance. He keeps on getting close. And even when we want to stay in our own lane and have Him stay in His lane, He's not that good of a driver. He crosses over into our lane time and again. He left the throne of heaven to be near us. God taking on flesh. To be born in a dirty stable and to experience everything there is to experience in humanity. We read in Hebrews 4, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." Jesus came not only to stand under our burden. He came to stand in for us. Stand in. To take our place. He took our burden of our sin and the penalty that our sin brings. And He placed it on Himself on the cross. And He took our burden of our sin, the full weight of our guilt, and He paid the price. So He calls all who are burdened and heavy laden to come to Him, because He brings rest. Rest doesn't mean a life empty of burdens, a life empty of friction. But it does mean that we have someone to come alongside, to stand under that burden with us, that we never have to have a burden alone. The Christian is found what it is like for Jesus to carry our load. And then He has given us His Spirit so that our load is no longer just bearable. But He gives us eyes and a heart and a passion to find other people's burdens. And the power of His Spirit to stand under those burdens too. The irony is, if we are going to fulfill Galatians 6 well, we have to be weak and strong at the same time. Weak to know our standing, our common brokenness with humanity, and strong to know that His Spirit rests within us and gives us His fulfilling power. As we bear one another's burdens, we will truly love one another. We will not be surprised when other people have hurts, when other people have burdens. But we're willing to go forward with them, just as Jesus does for us. So the question of the week is this. The prayer of the week is this. Whose burden, Lord, do you want me to help bear this week? Whose burden, Lord, do you want me to help bear this week? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You once again for Your great love for us. We thank you that you came and you stood in our place. And you carried the burden and the weight of our sin, and you paid the price. And thank you that in our life, you have longed to come close for us to drop the masks, not only of our face, but of our hearts, to allow you to get close. To know what it's like to know that our sin has been paid for, that the penalty is no longer there, and that the weight of our sin can be lifted off completely by your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done to stand in our place. And we pray that by your Spirit, you will help us to stand under the burdens of others. We rely on your Spirit to give us the insights, to give us even the conviction to stop and to pause and to engage and to learn well from one another. We pray, Father, that as we go through this week, you will help us to see whose burden we are to come alongside and to stand under with them. And Father, as part of our humanity, we all carry the burden of war and oppression that goes on around us. Wars that are carried out between nations, wars that are carried out between groups of people. And Father, we pray for your Prince of Peace, for your Prince of Peace to come, for him to bring his peace, to bring an end to war and oppression, to injustice. We long for this. We pray that you will use your people as voices, as action people, to stand in the gap, to help bring an end to the oppression, to the violence, of the wars that we see all around us. And Father God, we lift up the needs of our faith community to you. We pray for those who are in special need of your care and your goodness day by day. Gail and Gil and Joe and Pam. That your grace and goodness would abound and that you would provide for them the needs that they have. We pray, Father God, that you would be with our students. That as they go to school, they would learn about your world, about your love for others, about your love for this world, and that you would help them to be equipped to help to stand under the burdens of the world and the burdens of others. We pray, Lord, that you will give our students great friends, godly teachers, counselors who direct them and help to lead their path. We pray, Lord, that you'll be with our students, that they would grow and grow, not just in knowledge, but in love and compassion and grace. We pray for families that are struggling. We pray, Lord, as we come alongside of families, as we come alongside individuals, you will help us by your Spirit to recognize our shared humanity in this brokenness. We pray for those who are struggling with finances, with parenting, for caring for aging parents. We pray, Father God, that you will help those who are in our lives who are struggling, that we might come alongside and stand under with them. For those who are struggling with extreme brokenness, we pray you will grant them long wisdom and strength. We lift our families to you, the families that are close to you, that you will provide your wisdom and your grace. We lift up our neighbors to you, that you will shine your light of grace and love upon them. We pray for safety for our neighbors and for our neighborhoods. We pray for the safety of our local law enforcement. And we thank you for the willingness to serve and to protect. We pray for our neighbors today and this week on Coleman. We pray for an extra blessing on them that they might know that life's blessings come from you. We lift up our missionary partner, Pastor Robert. And we bless you for him and his family, for his leaders, and for the church plant that reaches out to the Hispanic community. We pray, Lord, that you will give to them courage, strength, and perseverance. We pray that you will protect their gathering as they meet, and that you will protect the leaders as they serve in your name. We thank you once again for your Son Jesus, who came to stand in our place. Thank you that our sin has been lifted and separated as far as the east is from the west. And for our burdens, we come and place them before you. We pray you will help us to release them to you so that we know that you stand underneath them with us. Give us eyes to see once again others who are in need of a burden that needs to be shared, that we might share that with them. We lift up these and all of our prayers to you. We pray them in Jesus' name, and everyone agreed and said, Amen.